Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So over the 4th of July weekend, on Saturday, there was I saw the story out of Holly Grove, and it got me thinking. You know the old cliche, how men don't want to ask for directions, and they will drive around lost a lot longer than women will. Women have no problem like asking someone for directions.
I know that cliche? I'm the living embodiment of that cliche.
That's why it's a cliche. Well, on Saturday, this past Saturday, in Holly Grove, some guy driving his car. He pulled over, and then he was calling. He was actually calling his mother for directions to her home. Now, he's pulled over in his running car in Holly Grove, and he calls his mother asking for directions to get to her house. What do you think happened to him? He got carjacked.
Yeah.
He was on Live Oak Street, pulled over to call his mother to ask mom for directions to how to get to her house. While he was on the phone, he was approached by two armed suspects who stood on both sides of the vehicle. And then those suspects demanded the victim get out of the vehicle and told him to leave his wallet and cell phone. The victim complied. The suspects fled in his 2015 dark blue Impala, and it had a Texas license plate on it. So he was in town from Texas going to his mother's house, 4th of July weekend here in New Orleans, in Holly Grove. And then he made the mistake to pull over to the side of the road to call his mother to ask her for directions. He would have been better off just driving around lost for another hour. Why is that? Because I always used to have a tough time asking for directions, because I always thought that if I didn't know exactly where I was going, it's in the area. But that wasn't good enough for relationships I've been in the past. Obviously, well, your wife. Why is that such a big issue between the two genders?
Well, first of all, what do you define as in the area? Would that be within the same state?
Well, he was in Holly Grove. He was in the section of New Orleans.
No, I'm talking about you. No, I'm not. Oh. This is directly you feel like you're close. Is that the same state, city?
Yeah, I know.
Township, county.
I'm only a few minutes away.
Parish. It almost never comes up now because I use the GPS for everything. I'm the guy who, and I guess you could say it's somewhat age related, I have so many things on my mind. That's my excuse for the fact that if you see me at a grocery store parking lot looking around or constantly hitting lock on my electronic key thing because I'm trying to find the truck, because I literally have no idea where I parked. The only reason right now, parked in the garage not far from where we work, the only reason I know where I am is because I park in the same stall every day. And there's a reason for that, because I will forget where I can go to the grocery store and I will walk out and go the wrong direction every time. That's why I try to find like a lamppost or I leave a Hansel and Gretel trail of breadcrumbs to find. I'm just stupid like that. We're all ignorant. We're just ignorant about different things.
I wonder why that's such a difference between men and women. Like, women have no problem asking for directions, and men, maybe it's a pride thing.
It's a pride thing. It can be, I guess, an emasculating thing to let your woman know that you don't know where you are. I mean, I guess it's somehow related to just the male psyche. You don't want your wife or your girlfriend to see you looking around going, huh, where am
I? Well, so this poor guy who had his car jacked in Holly Grove this past Saturday here in New Orleans, all he did was pull his car over to the side of the road, call his mother, and, hey, am I close? This is where I... And then he gets two guys with guns. Now, I wonder when he got out of the car and they got in the car, they bumped into each other. I wonder if he said, hey, before you take off, do you know where this address is? This is my mother's address. Two guys, they obviously know the neighborhood. They're standing on the street corner with guns. They know what's going on. It doesn't say that in the story, if he ended up getting the directions from his carjackers or not.
Well, the phrase there would be with guns. Two guys with guns.
Mm.
I don't mess with guns and people generally with guns if I can avoid it.
Poor guy. Outside of the carjacking, I hope he had a good 4th of July weekend, Independence Day weekend with his mother here in the city of New Orleans.
Right.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Every so often, we see a story about this type of person in the news. And over the last 24 hours, it happened again. Mandeville man accused of filming six women in bathroom. Toilet cam man. We've talked about toilet cam men before on the show. You might, let me give you a couple of details on this first. The Jefferson Parish District Attorney's Office has charged a former Smoothie King employee accused of placing a camera in a restroom with 9 counts of felony video voyeurism. 43-year-old Robert Fuselet Jr. I bet you Robert Fuselet Sr. is happy about this. Jr. is from Mandeville. No, he works in Jefferson Parish at Smoothie King. He was charged July 1st, according to Jefferson Parish court records. He was arrested one day after a female employee at Smoothie King spotted a camera in a unisex bathroom at the company's Metairie headquarters. The woman told deputies she noticed a flashing blue light under a nearby cabinet. She was sitting on the toilet. When she moved closer to inspect the light, she realized that device was a camera pointed at her while she was sitting on the toilet. There was also an external hard drive with the camera. Guy did some work in there. That's the thing about these toilet cam men. It's amazing what they can do around a toilet with electronics and hard drives, in some cases soft drives. Detectives identified Fuselet as the person who placed the camera in the bathroom. They also identified a total of 6 women, ages 33 to 58, who had been secretly filmed. This is a, I would like to say that this isn't very common. But we see people getting arrested, guys, men. I mean, women don't do this kind of thing. I mean, kind of women are going to video record anybody on toilets? Well, that's only a man's crime. And it always reminded me, every time I see a toilet cam story, it always reminded me of the old Sammy Davis Jr. song. Who could take a webcam, sprinkle it with dew, watching pretty ladies, number one or number two? The toilet cam man. The toilet cam man. And we see these guys, see them all over the place. And you know, when you see a crime being committed, you always want to understand what gets inside the head of these people that commit these crimes. And I'll be honest with you. When you see guys like this get arrested for being toilet cam men, I don't want to get inside the head of the man who sets up cameras around the toilets so he could watch women go to the bathroom. I'll be honest with you. There are several crimes out there, and I've told this. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me say this before. I know Brewster's heard me say this a lot. If this is one of the things that did it for me, I'd probably throw myself off a bridge. If that's what got me excited, if video recording strange women on the toilet is what got me excited, what got me all crazy, I'd want to end my life. You know who the most famous toilet cam man of all time? One of the founders of rock and roll, Chuck Berry. There are videos. I don't want to say, you know, go look for them, because the one that someone showed me one day, I still haven't recovered from watching it. He's Chuck Berry at his house, and he wakes up and there's some woman in there with him, and she's younger, and honey, time to go to the bathroom, and the whole thing, the whole thing's on video. And you know, when I saw that about Chuck Berry, and then when he had a restaurant at a Midwestern state, he owned a restaurant. He got in trouble for having a camera in the women's room of his restaurant too. And I said, well, look, this guy invented. He was one of the founding fathers of rock and roll. You know, cut him a break here. So what? The guy likes watching women go to the bathroom. And then Chuck Berry's case, he does more than just watch them go to the bathroom. He gets involved. I don't want to.
Got a sore throat this morning? I mean, get your lozenge over there?
Well, every so often. I mean, we've seen this. I remember.
I don't remember any of this. I'm trying to forget it now.
There was some guy when Metairie was having their Mardi Gras. There was some guy a few years ago that got arrested for setting up a camera in one of the porta potties. Mm. I mean, think about that. How low do you have to go? I mean, you know how disgusting.
Can you rephrase that?
You know how disgusting a porta potty is, and you're in there with your video equipment.
Now slow down. There are some. Where was it that we went recently? And they were. You'd like to say it's. Lemony fresh, or fresh as a Carolina pine forest.
Yes.
Where was it that we went? And it was just unbelievable. I could have spent two or three times the amount of time I needed to spend there, but we had other things to do. I forget where it was we went.
That's great, finding a porta potty that you don't want to leave. Usually,
it was luxurious. It was not the accessible. We don't use the H word, but it was that big, as if I were, for people who I'm wheelchair bound or that type of thing, it was that large, but yet it was just a normal thing. And the smell, bravissimo.
That's great, because usually when you go to the porta potty, when you use one of those, you're holding your breath.
Yes.
You see how, if I can hold my breath for 90 seconds here. You know, that's nice, the one you use, big enough. Not only did it smell great, big enough for wheelchairs. Maybe that's why they realize people are going to be in there for a little while.
Could be. Trouble is, I can't remember where it was we went. It may not even have been here. It may have been somewhere else. I don't know.
That's how you would pronounce this guy's last name, Fusilier, right? Fusilier.
Now you ask after you've said it three or four times?
Well, it could be.
I'm not sure.
It could be Fusilli. Ronald.
Fusilli Jerry.
Yeah, or Fusilli Ronald, or Fusilli Toilet.
Right.
Yeah. Ronald Fusilier Jr. This is why I was always happy that my parents didn't name me after my father. Well, there was two reasons. My father's name was Eugene.
My uncle's name was Eugene.
That's the first reason.
My dad's brother.
The first reason I was glad I wasn't named after my father. But the second reason is, if I ever got in trouble, there goes his name in the press.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God I'm not a toilet cam man.
Right.
Like Ronald Fuselet Jr. of Mandeville. I feel bad for this guy's father right now. Who could take a webcam?
Who can take the sunrise?
Sprinkle it with dew. Watching pretty ladies number one or number two. The toilet cam man.
The candy man.
Oh, the toilet cam man.
The candy man.
Come on, everybody. The toilet cam man puts it in the can and makes himself feel good. Good old days.
Yeah. There's going to be a lawsuit right there.
No, and this won't. And I'm looking at his mugshot, old Ronald Fuselet Jr. of Mandeville. Besides feeling sorry for his father, his namesake. But can you imagine how many fathers? I did not raise you. I did not give you my name to go into public bathrooms and set up webcams with hard drives, soft drives. You had a whole network in there. I'm looking at his mugshot. He's got that look on his face in his mugshot. What do you want from me? Yeah, I'm a toilet cam man. Yeah, I watch strange women.
And why are you making the women strange? What did they do?
Well, women that
strange
he
to
know.
Him.
Yes.
Right, right.
No,
okay.
No, the women are.
They're not. Right. They're foreign. Well, they're not foreign. They could be foreign.
They're brain
they
surgeons could be, compared to him.
But, they could be strange and foreign.
But he just doesn't know. It's not like he knows these women. They're not related to him. They're not friends of the family. Who knows? Maybe he's done that in the past. All we know is he used to work at Smoothie King in Metairie, and that's where he set up the toilet cam in the unisex bathroom over there. Yeah, the chorus of that song, by the way, went, the toilet cam man puts the camera in the can to make himself feel good. The toilet cam
man.
Yeah,
we're past that.
Oh, yeah, and he's got that look on his face. What do you want from me in his mugshot?
You
got
said that.
You got me.
You said that. Are you sure that's his face?
Unless he's a magician with webcams other than toilets. Yeah, that's his face. So, all right. Hey, coming up on the show, we hear people, ever since the United States women's soccer team won the World Cup again, they're screaming equal pay, equal pay, equal pay. They want to be paid as much as the men. Not only
you say screaming, but you mean chanting at the games.
Well,
equal.
No, yeah. Tomorrow during the ticker tape parade, we're going to hear it on Broadway in New York City.
You're right. But chanting that like you would hear defense.
Sure.
They're chanting equal pay.
And of course they deserve more money than the men because they're better than the men. They win. The men can't even compete on the world stage. But they don't generate the revenue. We're gonna explain coming up. We're gonna break down the numbers.
When is the last time at a sporting event you heard something chanted like a sports chant that had nothing to do with the game itself and was a total quasi political message? I struggle to think of one.
Yeah. We will tell you about this coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Do you plan on retiring? I have no idea. I have no plans. I wish. I've had some ups and downs financially in my life, and I'm trying to get back up there again. But according to a new poll, 23% of Americans say they never plan to retire. About 50% say they never plan to work. Must be the younger crowd when they pulled the second question there. All right, coming up on the show, we are going to tell you about these two guys that got a documentary was made on them because of their animal rescue work, and it has a local tie here to Louisiana. Stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So I was just reading about this new documentary that's going to be on Netflix soon. It's about these two guys who have rescued over 11,000 dogs since Hurricane Katrina. You talk about doing God's work. It's called Life in the Doghouse. And this, they happen to be two gay guys. They're a couple who lives in South Carolina. Their names are Danny Robert Shaw and Rob Danta. But after they saw what happened with Hurricane Katrina, they saw a bunch of the dogs on rooftops. They saw dogs floating, dead. And they said, if there's anything we can do, we're going to do it. So they sent trailers. And they came here with, and they just started filling up the trailers. And it started with after Hurricane Katrina, but they have done that after other bad storms too. The one that they had not that long ago in Houston, Texas. Remember the one a few years ago in Baton Rouge, the flood? They saw dogs that needed help, and they would send trucks and trailers to come and get the dogs and bring them back to their home in South Carolina, where they then try to find the dogs good homes. And they have with a bunch of the dogs. But they live with a bunch of dogs. They have at their house, they have several dozen dogs living with them at a time. And they said, and you'll see if you watch this documentary, by the way, the documentary is called Life in the Doghouse. And when you rescue dogs and you live with several dozen dogs at a time, they clean their house every day. They clean their house every day. They mop their floors every day. They vacuum every day. They clean. And when people go into their house, they expect, I mean, you know, you got several dozen dogs living with you that you're rescuing. You'd expect it to smell like a doghouse. And evidently, I'm just reading about this documentary. I haven't seen it yet. But people are shocked when they go in these guys' house how clean it smells. Again, I'll bring up the, and these guys do live in South Carolina. I'll bring up the Carolina Pine Forest. But this movie maker, this documentary maker, his name's Ron Davis, he just showed up at these two guys' house to adopt the dog back in 2016. And he was so impressed. And when he heard the stories and the statistics and the number of dogs, he was so impressed. He said, I'm gonna make a documentary about you guys. And one of the guys said, who the hell would want to watch us feed dogs? Come to find out, it looks like it's going to be a success. And when you see guys like this, I mean, think about that. They've rescued over 11,000 dogs. It makes me not even want to look in the mirror at myself. I need to do something. This gives me inspiration to go out and rescue something or to do something to help someone or something.
I feel the same way you do about you looking in the mirror.
But they were they were like a lot of other people. After Hurricane Katrina, they were watching the news and their jaw was on the ground. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. And they said, we're going to do something about this. And they've just kept up their work after that, in the years after that. I think Netflix picked this up last week because it was on 1 week. And since it was on, they've got at least 15,000 more people that were communicating with them on Facebook. They say they receive about 300 to 400 emails a day from people around the world responding to the documentary and expressing interest in animal rescue. And that even New Orleans area native Ellen DeGeneres tweeted something about that to her 77 million followers. But when you see it, when you see people like this, I mean, if it doesn't, I feel guilty that I don't do more to help people.
Well, don't go to bed when you get off at 10 o'clock.
I get up quick after that. But like this morning, I almost tripped over the guy who sleeps outside my building every night.
I see a different guy. The guy that was here before the 4th of July holiday, apparently he's out of town. And now we have a new guy. A new homeless guy.
Oh, that's the guy right by the
over
garage
here. Yeah.
I'm talking down by my place.
Oh, okay.
I tripped over him yesterday morning, and I yelled at him. I said, can't you move in a little bit? Why do you have to take up so much of the sidewalk? Now, instead of doing that, why couldn't I have helped the guy?
That goes back to you looking in the mirror again. And.
Ugh. This is you see a story like this, it gives you hope, because we always say on this show, we talk about the news and you see social media and everything, you know, it's got to be bad or sad news. If it bleeds, it leads. You know, good news doesn't sell. You see how miserable how some people are on social media, and then you see these two gay guys, this couple in South Carolina, who've rescued over 11,000 dogs since Hurricane Katrina. And it makes you, I'm telling you, I'm going to do something. I'm not going to say anything. And it's not like I haven't done anything in the past to help people or organizations, because you shouldn't shine the light on yourself when you do things like that.
Right.
But if you see something like this and it doesn't make you want to try to do something, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe nothing will. It's called Life in the Doghouse. It's a new documentary on Netflix. I think it's only been on once. And the fact that these two guys decided to do something about a problem, like I said, at least three storms they've showed up after, and they have rescued dogs.
Well, my advice to you after looking into the mirror would be to... check this. Well, you'd have to sign up for Netflix and then check the show out. Do you have Netflix yet?
Still working on that? I'll have it for a few months, and then I'll say I'm not going to get it because I'm watching too much television, and then
not sleeping enough,
and then it goes away, and then when something comes up that I haven't seen, then I'll go and get it again. I mean, Brewster, with my cable, I already have like 1,000
channels.
I already have like 1,000 channels. I only know a handful of them.
You still have a party line on your telephone?
I only know a handful of my cable channels. I don't watch most of the cable that
Stop
I have.
Stop saying cable. Don't say cable again.
Okay.
Ladies, he's single.
Well, I mean, I don't know what is more impressive about this story, the fact that they've rescued over 11,000 dogs, or the fact that you walk into their house, you wouldn't know that they own one dog, or let alone have several dozen living with them, because they constantly clean the house. And when the people, in the documentary, they show people walk in, and they walk in the house, there's dogs everywhere, but they're like, wow, it smells great in here.
Mm-hmm.
Just, mind is blown. So Something to watch if you're looking to something to watch and feel good at the same time. You'll kill a couple of birds with one. Well, I was going to say dogs, but birds with one stone. Watching Life in the Doghouse, a new documentary about a gay couple who has rescued over 11,000 dogs since Hurricane Katrina.
And it's awkward.
What are you telling me? You're not interested over there? That's something you're going to be binge watching?
I'm not the dog person. You know that. I'm a cat,
person. Right. Yeah, I love them both. All right, coming up on the show, you hear people chanting equal pay, equal pay, equal pay when it comes to the United States women's soccer team. I've got the numbers in front of me. And wait till you hear these numbers. When you hear these numbers, some are saying that the women are overpaid. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Well, we've had Florida man stories. We have Florida women stories. Here's a Florida principal story. Florida school principal removed after parent says he refused to call Holocaust factual. Well, Florida principal now is in the news. He's one of them Holocaust deniers, it looks like. A principal was removed from his post at a Florida high school yesterday after he told the parent that he considered the Holocaust to be a belief and not a fact. Officials with the school district of Palm Beach County, Florida, said William Latson, formerly principal of Spanish River High School in West Palm Beach, Florida, it's nice over there, had been reassigned out of an abundance of concern for students and staff. So this guy, he's the principal, well, he was the principal of a high school in West Palm Beach, Florida, and he didn't believe the Holocaust was factual. Whenever he refused to say it's a fact. Have you seen the video from when they discovered what Hitler was doing with Jewish people in concentration camps at the end of World War II over there? How else would you explain that?
This is back from, I believe, the 1984, 85. It aired on Frontline in this country, and it was called Memories of the Camps, and it was some lost footage that the Allied troops had taken once the camps were liberated. And I don't know what you think is in those mass graves, those of you who don't believe in the Holocaust, where thousands upon thousands of bodies were dumped in there and then lye was poured on them to try to eat away at the remains.
I mean, we've seen the video.
Exactly.
Wow. Incredible. But hey, at least they figured it out. He's not a principal anymore, the Holocaust denier in Florida. Good. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next! On Bayou 95.7.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Aunt Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
July 9th
is National Sugar Cookie Day. What is not to love about sugar cookies?
Yeah, you
especially.
To love them.
Well, you can have the sugar-free type if you're.
I ate too many sugar cookies in my life. Now I got to watch my sugar.
That's right. How is your sugar doing?
Fine.
Are you out of the 400s?
No, I'm much lower than that.
Oh,
I'm fine.
But happy National Sugar Cookie Day.
July 9th.
Yes.
Hey, Wimbledon, the tennis tournament is going on right now over there in England.
Yes, the T is silent. It's Wimbledon.
The first Wimbledon.
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon tennis match.
Wimbledon. You can't say it, can you?
The first Wimbledon.
Say it with me. Wimbledon. Wimbledon. Go ahead.
The first Wimbledon.
Perfect.
Tennis match happened.
God, I think he's got it.
Happened today in 1877. Talk about a long history. Now, I know Brewster,
why today doesn't suck.
You were just over there. Did you happen to? Because when I went to England, I went over to, and I fell right next to it. I got some of the grass on my pants, and I kept it there.
No, you didn't. We actually.
It was from outside the tennis court, but it was still grass right next to Wimbledon.
Well, you want an answer to your question or not? Mrs. Brewster and I stayed in the Waterloo area, which is, I guess, kind of, I don't know how you would describe that. I guess that's on the South Bank. They don't do East and West Bank. They do South Bank across the Thames, or as we say in Indiana, the Thames. That's right, the Thames River. But Wimbledon was actually on was one of the train stops, the tube stops, I should say. Mind the gap between the train and the platform. So we didn't stop there. We didn't have any reason to get out and walk around, nor get grass on our. On our white tennis togs. Does that answer the question?
Obviously, one of the four majors, probably the biggest tennis tournament in the world for professional tennis players.
Sure.
And then the U.S. Open, and then what are the other two majors? You got the
French Open
and the Australian.
At Roland Garros on the red clay.
Yeah, so
in Australia.
There you go.
Yeah.
July 9th. It was today in 1962.
Why today doesn't suck.
A pretty famous song was recorded today in 1962.
I know this one.
Bob Dylan records Blowin' in the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, "This here ain't no protest song or anything like that, because I don't write no protest songs." After saying it like that, imagine he's one of the great lyricists and songwriters.
But he didn't say it like that. He said it like this. "This here ain't no protest song. I don't write no damn protest song." Why am I doing David? I'm channeling David Spade for some reason. "Hey, you live here in Pittsburgh? Bye-bye."
Even though he said that about that he doesn't write no protest songs, that was one of the most eloquent protest songs ever written.
Sure.
And it was recorded today in 1962.
Yes.
January 9th. I'm sorry, July 9th. It was today.
Well, it's hot in here for January.
Yeah, I know. I'm dreaming about January right now. Today in 1947.
Why today doesn't suck.
The very first female army officer is appointed in a ceremony held at the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. General Dwight David Eisenhower appoints Florence Blanchfield to be a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army, making her the first woman in United States history to hold permanent military rank. I always like to say we try to learn something new every day on this show. Did you know that Florence Blanchfield was the very first Army officer in the United States history?
Yes. Of course I did. You ask that question, you're always going to get the same answer. It was on this date, July 9th. Boy, you talk about something historic. That happened. It was on this date, July 9th, 1996.
Why today doesn't
that
suck.
That can't possibly be right. Well, no, let's see. 1996? Well, go ahead. I'll read this and then we'll figure it out later. Deep Purple performed Smoke on... You know, Deep Purple's coming to the Sanger Theater and I have tickets. And I'm going to, hopefully... I like to shake Ian Gillan's hand. Ian Gillan is probably my favorite rock vocalist of all time.
What a voice.
But that's neither here nor there. This is 1996. Deep Purple performed Smoke on the Water in Montreux. That's in Switzerland. For the first time, Smoke on the Water was written after the band survived a nightclub fire in Montreux in Switzerland. But I guess it's possible. Maybe it was the first time since that fire where some stupid with a flare gun burned the place to the ground, as is written in the lyrics of that great song, that every guitar player plays, but plays wrong. That's true. Not bar chords, not an open G chord, two strings plucked. Watch go to YouTube and put in Smoke on the Water, Ritchie Blackmore, and I guarantee you're playing it wrong, because I was too.
That song had been written for over 20 years, and they finally played it in the town where...
I read the line I have, and I'm assuming it's for the first time since that event happened. And the bad thing is, in 96, I don't think Ritchie Blackmore was even with the band, so I probably... Let's just scratch that one out. Forget I did that one. It was on this date, July 9th, or January 9th. In this case, July 9th, 1995.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Ain't There No More. The Grateful Dead performed their final concert ever with Jerry Garcia. Flash poll. Do you have any idea where that was? You probably have it in front of you. So
I don't. The last concert the Dead played with Jerry Garcia
was in North America.
I have no idea.
Was north of I-70.
Minneapolis.
Let's see. How can we play high-low? We'll play lower. More south. This is still east of the Mississippi. I think, yeah.
I don't know, but people who love the Grateful Dead, they would definitely know this.
It was, it couldn't have been the Frozen Tundra because it was July 9th, but it would be, a different Frozen Tundra. Not Lambeau Field, Soldier Field in Chicago. That had to be really hot this time of year in Chicago. It was on this date. Also, with the final appearance of someone in a band, July 9th, 1991.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
But there's a twist here. Judas Priest, Alice Cooper, and Motorhead kick off their Operation Rock and Roll at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City. At the time, it was Rob Halford's last tour with Judas Priest before he rejoined the band in 2003. On this date, July 9th, 1983.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Police reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Chart for the first and only time with...
1983?
Yeah. The song spent 8 weeks on top. Think about it.
Every Breath You Take.
Exactly.
And I've talked about that song on the show. I don't know if that song would be a hit today, because people would listen to that song and say, that's a stalker.
Yes.
You know, with the hashtag Me Too,
sure,
hashtag Time's Up movements. You listen to that song, that's a complete stalker song.
It is a very stalky type song. Your celebrity birthday is today. Include probably this generation's best, if not best, then most versatile actor. That would be Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, I think, is this generation's answer to like a Henry Fonda, or maybe more closely a Jimmy Stewart, where you could just plug him into any role and he fits perfectly. But yet it's not, as they say with some actors, it's not he's just doing Tom Hanks. You know, there's the knock against, let me think of somebody. There's kind of a De Niro has crossed into that. Well, it's just De Niro doing De Niro, making the faces. And in movies now, not movies then, movies now. The Fockers, for example. That's just De Niro doing the De Niro face. But anyway, happy birthday to Tom Hanks.
Well, Tom Hanks is definitely believable in everything he's in.
That's kind of my point. He has that everyman quality. He's believable in everything. I'm stalling here because I had to find this. Here's your OJ update. Born on this date in 1947, Orenthal James the Juice Simpson.
Yeah, OJ.
Happy birthday to OJ. Still on the trail of finding the real killers.
Yeah, he's 72 today. If you want to send him a gift, he could use gloves. I know that a pair of gloves
yes.
he could use.
Yes, he sure could.
At least a second glove he could use.
There's your OJ update again. Also born on this date. And let's see, 1946, he would, Bon Scott, he never would have made it. Courtney Love has a birthday today, as does Amanda Knox. And Jack White is, how old today? 44. And there you go.
I'm a big Jack White fan. Sad that he has to share a birthday with O.J. Simpson. July 9th. It was today in 2001.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The lead singer and guitarist and leader of the band Metallica, James Hetfield, checked into rehab. Gotta go to rehab. Can't stop drinking. Nah. And it wasn't just to undergo treatment for alcoholism, and also other addictions.
Like his speech impediment.
Well,
where he goes, zah, well, after everything.
Well, if you ever saw a documentary on Metallica, the other co-leader of that band is the drummer, Lars Ulrich. Those two, they write all the songs and they lead the band. They have issues. They have had problems, much like a married couple, where one of them will say something, then the other one, they just start screaming at each other. But I think since James Hetfield completed rehab for alcoholism and other addictions, I think that's helped with that issue as well.
And that's the segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
And we never say who the celebrity voices are on that, but we're going to reveal that one today. And he's leaving us today after almost 40 years with this company, Jim McCutcheon, one of the production voices, as you hear around here. That's his voice, and he's going to be leaving the company. We're going to have a little doing for him today. So best of luck to Jim.
Talented guy.
Yes.
Coming up next on the show, we're hearing people chant equal pay when it comes to the United States women's soccer team. I've got numbers in front of me here, and some are saying that they're already overpaid. We're going to break it all down coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. One of the biggest problems in American prisons, well, besides the prison sex, prison rape, that kind of thing, smuggled cell phones are a growing problem in American prisons. Contraband. Behind bars, cell phones sell for as much as $2,500, which sounds like a lot, but there are no roaming charges. Get the positive with everything over here. All right, coming up next, we've got the breakdown of these numbers when it comes to women's soccer, because after the United States women just won the World Cup again, you started hearing people chanting equal pay, equal pay, equal pay. I've got numbers for you next that might surprise you, because some are saying that the women get paid too much already. Stay tuned for that report coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So the United States women's world soccer team is the best soccer team on the planet. Best soccer team in the world, best soccer team on the globe. Tomorrow, they're going to be having a ticker tape parade down Broadway in New York City. And this is the fourth time they've won the World Cup. It's incredible over the last generation, this one generation, how United States women's soccer has become such a beast. Before this generation, I don't even think there was a United States women's soccer team. And they've won four World Cups. Meanwhile, the men cannot compete on the world stage because it's the sport in this country just isn't very popular. Sure, it's the most popular sport on the planet, but in this country, it's behind football. It's behind basketball. It's behind baseball. I think it's might be catching hockey. I'm not sure. But anyways, what we heard after the American women won over the last couple of days, we heard the chant, equal pay, equal pay. We heard it from the fans in the stadium in Lyon, France, where they won the World Cup. And we're going to hear it tomorrow on Broadway. And when you hear these numbers, you're going to say, wait a minute. What do you mean equal pay? Let me explain. First and foremost, on the world stage, those people that were chanting equal pay, the fans that were at the World Cup in France, they weren't chanting equal pay for the American women. They were chanting equal pay for women soccer players of every country. They were chanting equal pay, equal pay. That's what they were. Now, when it comes to the world soccer, FIFA runs it. And here's the numbers that we have in front of us here. the Women's World Cup, the last one in Japan, 4 years ago that we won, it brought in about $73 million. And the players got 13% of that. And those are all the women's soccer players that played in the World Cup. So you got to break that money up between all the different teams and different players. Again, 4 years ago in Japan, the Women's World Cup brought in about $73 million. The players got 13% of that. You go back to the 2010 Men's World Cup in South Africa, that made $4 billion, of which 9% went to the players. So there's a little bit of a difference there. $73 million is what the Women's World Cup brought in. And then 4 years before that, the Men's World Cup brought in $4 billion. The men still pull the World Cup money wagon. There's no doubt about it. It's not even close when it comes to making money with the men's soccer and women's soccer when you're talking about the World Cup. As a matter of fact, the Men's World Cup in Russia, the last one, had generated over $6 billion. $6 billion compared to the Women's World Cup's $73 million. And again, the men get 9% of that money, and the women got 13% of that money. So that's on a world stage. It's not even comparable. So come here to the United States now. Do the women deserve more money than the men? Many people would say, well, the women are better. They win at the same world level that the men can't even compete in. So yeah, the women should make more money. If they're not making more money, it must be misogynistic. It must be, no, it's not. As a matter of fact, United States Soccer has provided the media with some figures. Since 2008, United States Soccer has paid 12 players at least $1 million. Six of those players were men. Six of those players were women. And the women hold their own near the top of the pay scale. The best paid woman made $1.2 million from 2008 to 2015, while the top man made $1.4 million during that same period. Some women in the top 10 even made more than their male counterparts over those years. Now, where there's some disparity is where you will see the majority just go down from those top 10 players, top dozen players. And then the men do make a little bit more money. But you're talking about In a sport in a country that doesn't really love the sport. I mean, whether it's a men's soccer league or a women's soccer league, none of those leagues are breaking down the door making money in this country. They're just not. People don't care. The majority of American sports fans don't care about soccer. We will watch when they're on the world stage, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's the World Cup, men and women. Women just happen to be able to be kicking butt, and hopefully someday the men will be able to compete at that level. But when it comes to United States soccer, shouldn't it be like every other business? Shouldn't it be a capitalistic, free market society? Shouldn't these players, whether they're male or female, do as well as their sport does? I mean, look at the biggest sports in America. The NFL, all of these guys are millionaires. The NBA, all of these guys are millionaires. The Major League Baseball, all of these guys are millionaires. Why is that? Because those sports generate so much revenue, mainly from television contracts. And then all kinds of other stuff as well.
Right.
Soccer just, it does not and will never, ever have that in this country, ever.
The big sports, especially the NFL, it's all about the pie. The pie is so huge, there is a big fat pie, and there are big fat slices for everybody, and that is the players, as you mentioned, are millionaires. They're millionaires. The owners are millionaires. The executives on Park Avenue or Madison Avenue or whatever it is, they're all millionaires. The soccer pie just is, it's like one little sliver, and there's just not enough for, frankly, you can't say everybody. It's not even enough for anybody.
There's nothing, because the sport just isn't very popular. I don't care how many soccer moms there are out there. The sport just isn't that popular.
And you mentioned about the Olympics, and the only reason, I mean, that's jingoism. I'm sorry to define it that way, but that's USA, USA, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's just not, with the exception of what's going on right now, and it has a bit of a us against them nature to it. But frankly, that's the big draw of the Olympics. It's USA domination that everybody wants to see in every sport.
And much like the World Cup, it gives you a little bit of pride.
Sure.
Saying, hey, we got the best women's soccer team on the globe, and many Americans, we don't even care about the sport in this country.
Right, and it's over and we'll change the channel.
Yeah, see you in a couple of years.
Right.
But when you hear people say the women should be paid more because they're better and they earn more revenue, it's just not true. Sure, they have better results than the men's team, but this same women's team a couple of years ago lost to a team of 14-year-old boys. They can't play soccer with the men. They can't do that. As much as our men suck, they would always beat our women. That's just because it's nature. Because boys, men, males are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. That goes without saying. You don't need me saying that. But when you hear people say that, boy, they should be paid more money because they're better and they earn more revenue, well, the revenue is neck and neck. They may be ahead of the men just a little bit in revenue, but it's not very much. So there are some numbers for you. And when they talk about equal pay for the women, it's twofold. One, on the world stage, FIFA, equal pay for all women's soccer players. And then we told you about the amount of money they make compared to the men's. It's not even close. And then here in America, nobody's making money in soccer. Very few. Here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. We mentioned this for a minute yesterday on the show, this disturbing new trend that is taking social media and law enforcement by storm. It's people going into supermarkets, opening up ice cream. I know Bluebell happened to be a popular brand, licking it or sticking their hands in it, eating it, and then sticking their hands in it again, eating more, and then putting the top back on, and then putting it in back in the freezer for the next person to come by and buy. I guess this is some sort of a new internet challenge, and it makes you miss the internet challenges like the Tide Pod challenge, where the people were video recording themselves eating Tide Pods, laundry detergent, because they look like candy. At least they were only hurting themselves there.
You know, they look like laundry detergent. They actually don't look like candy in my mind. But then after that, it was a certain song that you played while you were letting your car coast, and then you jump out of the car and continue doing the dance while the car just, what was that?
Yeah, that was another internet challenge.
Right. It's just, it, then it was, what was the thing where, people were getting punched in the face? Was the people on bicycles or people were punching bicyclists in the face and recording it? This has been maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but we could sit here for the next hour and try to conjure up what might come next. I don't think you could do it. Would you have thought that 3 or 4 years ago, if we had sat here for an hour, could we conjure up that the next big thing would people be eating detergent pods?
No.
For fun and profit?
No. Well, this thing that's going on in grocery stores now, again, the biggest problem with that is that affects everybody.
Sure.
And a guy in Louisiana just got arrested for licking ice cream at a supermarket and then putting the ice cream back in the freezer. I guess they're calling this guy a copycat. Assumption Parish. Here in Louisiana, says not only did this idiot do this, but he video recorded himself in a supermarket opening up a big canister of Blue Bell ice cream, licking it, taking some with his tongue, then putting the top back on it and putting it back into the freezer for the next person to come by and buy.
You know, just...
He video-recorded it. Well, that's what got him arrested.
Well, even not having seen the video, just hearing you describe it makes me want to vomit. I'm honest to God. Just hearing you say the description, just...
Well, this Louisiana man, he's 36 years old. His name is Lenice Martin III.
Here we go.
Well, I'm sure Lenice Martin II.
And the first.
What are you doing to our family name? Guy, what are you doing here? He was arrested over the weekend on Saturday, and he was charged with property tampering and posting criminal activity. Again, that's what got him arrested. Whoever he was with had a cell phone and recorded him doing this. And then, not only is he an idiot for doing that, but he posted the video on his own social media. It's basically like saying, hey, police, I'm over here. It's funny that they all actually in the supermarket where he was in Assumption Parish, they saw him doing this as well. And the management there said, hey, you got to go keep an eye on this guy. And they called police.
Well, I think in this particular case, he actually videoed himself doing it. This was an ice cream licking, selfie, as it were.
Yeah. And this,
the twist on this is that he was called back to the store and actually had purchased the ice cream, but guess what? At this point, it's too late.
Yeah. Once you put it back into the freezer.
Yeah.
After you've doing got, what you did to it.
You've got criminal mischief. You have something called, posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity. And in my years on this earth, I have never heard that as a charge before. Posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity. Had you heard those words prior to this?
We did do a story about a very attractive woman from Louisiana, a mother who got arrested. The charges were later dropped.
Right.
But the mother got arrested because her son video recorded a fight at his high school,
right,
then sent that video to his mother to say, Ma, look at this. She put it on her
immediately puts it on social media.
She put it on her Facebook page, and she got arrested for posting illegal activity in order to get likes.
Right.
And
I just didn't recall. I remember that story. I just didn't recall this charge: posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity.
Yeah, that's what she got arrested for too. We talked about that for a few days on the show because she was so attractive. I said she's not going to make it one night in prison with looks like she has. Those charges were eventually dropped for that woman, and that was I believe that was in the Lafayette area. But this idiot, what he did in Assumption Parish, that followed what a teenager in Texas did in a video that went viral. She took the ice cream from the Walmart freezer, removed the top of it, licked it, and then put it back. And then that prank spawned multiple copycat idiots. Like this guy in Assumption Parish, Lenice Martin III. And I just feel bad for Lenice Martin II and Lenice Martin, the grandfather, because now their name is going to be, I was going to say, dragged through the mud or dragged through the freezer.
Well, there is Mississippi mud ice cream. It could be dragged through the Mississippi mud. It could be dragged through the rocky road.
And coming up in less than an hour, we're going to tell you about another local man, another junior, who made his father's name look ridiculous because he got arrested for being a toilet cam man.
And for those of you who are sticklers for the letter of the law, it shall be, reading from the, this would be the revised statutes, Louisiana, it shall be unlawful. Is there music with this? No, not today. It shall be unlawful for a person who is either a principal or accessory to a crime to obtain an image of the commission of the crime using any camera, videotape, photo optical, photoelectric, or any other image recording device, and to transfer that image obtained during the commission of the crime by use of a computer online service, internet service, or any other means of electronic communication, including but not limited to a local bulletin board service, internet chat room, electronic mail, or online messaging service for the purpose of gaining notoriety, publicity, or the attention of the public.
If it wasn't for social media, these people wouldn't even be doing this, Brewster. They're only doing it to get likes.
And going back in my mind in the history of this show, the first thing that I can remember, and you'll remember this story, many of you listening might remember this, it was the motorcycle rider who was driving around with a GoPro on his helmet. Remember that? And he ran afoul of local authorities. It's similar to this because, whatever it was, I don't recall the particulars of it. But it just puts me in the mind of that story where you can't just photograph anything you want. And certainly not the commission of a crime and then posting it online.
Well, if he's driving on a motorcycle,
you recall that story, but I don't remember.
If he's breaking laws while he's driving on his motorcycle,
and then posts it.
Yeah, video recording it. And that's the only reason that these people are doing this at this point is so they can then show this to people on social media and get as many reactions, get as many likes, get as many thumbs up as possible. That is sick.
It is sick. As I've told you, the internet's a sewer. Facebook especially. It's a sewer.
Well, I don't even want to say this, but because you know something's going to be next. What in God's name is going to be next? What's going to be another challenge on social media that people are going to record themselves doing something afoul of the law and then being dumb enough not only to break the law, but then to take it and show the world on your social media, look what I'm doing, just to get as many thumbs ups as they possibly can. Boy. All right. Coming up on the show, wait till you hear what this woman just got sent to prison for 15 years for. She was doing something with her husband. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. Bayou! New Orleans only classic rock. This week, the city of Pamplona, Spain.
Bayou! I'm sorry, I'm on a 10-second delay today.
This week in the city of Pamplona, Spain, they're hosting the annual Running of the Bulls, like they do every year.
Yes.
That event is opposed by animal welfare groups as well as idiot welfare groups. I like watching running with the bulls. I would have never do it. It's not for me. I have a very low tolerance for BS. So, you'll see it on the news coming up. You will see some people gored, and people are having a good time over there. They do it every year. It's tradition for them. Coming up next, wait till you hear why this woman got sent to prison for 15 years. She was doing sex with her husband. That's all I'm going to, that's the only hint I'm going to give you. Now she's in prison. 15 years. That's next on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
It happens on Monday, this coming Monday at the Sanger Theater. I think it is going to get underway at about 7 o'clock. It is the Royal Affair Tour featuring members of Yes, Asia, John Lodge of the Moody Blues, and also Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, Carl Palmer, with special guest vocals by Arthur Brown. Is that the Arthur Brown? You remember Arthur Brown? You don't remember Arthur Brown from this song?
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Remember that?
Cool.
Is it that Arthur Brown?
That guy's going to be at the Sanger Theater?
Well, allegedly. And Carl Palmer will appear on this program on Friday at about 8:05. We will talk with Carl Palmer.
He's a great drummer.
Yes, he's one of the best. Left-handed drummer.
So he'll be playing in two bands that night. He'll be playing in his own band, and he'll be playing with Asia.
I guess. So there you go. Check it out. Sanger Theater and Carl Palmer on this show. 8:05 Friday.
You know you got to be good if they put your name in the band. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
I mean, yes.
West Virginia woman gets 15 years in prison for stabbing husband with dagger during foreplay.
That's too long to be a standing headline.
Now, true, she killed her husband, but it was during foreplay, doing sex. She still got 15 years. A West Virginia woman.
Oh, there's more?
Well, I got to give you the details.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. Can we just put the details in there and then have the speak and spell voice read it back? Because when you give sexual details, I really, really want to vomit. Go ahead. That's just me.
We do the best to make this a family show. We understand sometimes that kids are in the car on their way to school,
yes,
whatever the case may be, but it is summertime.
Yes, just try to. You need your lozenge.
That's usually what I do. Yeah. A West Virginia woman confessed yesterday to accidentally killing her husband with a dagger during foreplay.
Oh, it was an accident?
Yeah.
Well, now I'm interested.
That's why this 15-year sentence, I'm not so sure. I mean, she said, look, this is what he liked. I just happened to go a little bit too far during the foreplay. 49-year-old Jennifer Lynn Villa was sentenced yesterday to 15 years in prison for voluntary manslaughter in the 2017 death of her husband, Thomas Villa, who was fatally stabbed with a 14-inch decorative dagger while the two were roughhousing as part of sexual foreplay. Gee, she got 15 years for that. I wonder how much she would have got if she just stabbed the guy and it wasn't during foreplay.
See, 15, that's a little more than a year for every inch of the dagger.
She was initially charged with first-degree murder after telling authorities a range of inconsistent stories, including one in which her husband slipped on water and fell into the dagger. Yeah, what are the odds of that?
A million to one shot, Doc. A million to one shot.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like all those people that show up in emergency rooms in hospitals and they have something stuck somewhere up somewhere and they say, I just happened to fall.
You're talking about the great Saturday Night Live sketch, Ozark emergency room, something like that. So million to one shot.
Well, the cops, the authorities didn't believe, oh, really? Your husband slipped on water and just happened to fall into or onto the dagger.
Took 2 years to figure that out.
Her lawyer said the couple watched kung fu movies and it led to foreplay that involved getting violent and playing with weapons. You know, people, I know people that have been married
for a
long time.
Sounds like a party at your house.
Well, I was going to say, Brewster, I know people that have been married for a long time, and sometimes they say things can get a little bit mundane. You know, and relationship experts would tell you, hey, let's mix things up a little bit.
Back to the story. Just.
Her sentence.
I really don't feel well.
Her 15-year sentence may be reduced next month at another court hearing because she now is being so honest about what happened. I got to be honest with you. You know, the first thing you tell authorities when they show up at your house and your husband's laying there dead with a dagger in his chest, the first thing you thought of was that he slipped on water and that's how it got there? And so then the second thing you told them, well, we like kung fu movies, and so we decided to spice things up in the bedroom with a dagger, and it was foreplay. I guess that is more believable than slipping on water and just happening to fall on a dagger.
I wish I had a dagger I could fall on right now.
Well, I'm going to see.
You're going to follow this story.
I want to see if this 15-year sentence gets maybe sliced in half or something because it was an accident.
Right.
She didn't do it on purpose. They were trying to spice up their sex life.
Maybe they could whack a few years off of her sentence.
Poor people. Coming up next, one of the best pitchers in baseball may get fined. I think he's definitely going to get fined.
Oh, he'll get fined for what? Yes, he'll get fined.
If not suspended for what he just said about what's going on in Major League Baseball right now. That's next. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So one of the best pitchers in baseball, pitchers for the Houston Astros, Justin Verlander. When the Astros acquired him during the season, well, it was a couple of years ago, they ended up going all the way and winning the World Series. And Justin Verlander is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Although what he just said is going to get him fined, and it may get him suspended.
He's, of course, married, as you know, to Kate Upton.
Mr. Kate Upton.
Well, yeah.
I mean, some people just have it all in life. You know, a shoulder that God kissed when you were born that lets you throw 97 miles an hour to pretty much within an eighth of an inch of wherever you want to. And, oh, by the way, if that's not enough, we'll put millions of dollars in your bank account. And, oh, by the way, if that's not enough, Kate Upton is now your wife.
Right.
Justin Verlander says that Major League Baseball is juicing baseballs. There's more home runs this year in baseball than they're going to break a record this year with how many home runs are hit. And he says that Major League Baseball is juicing baseballs and it's turning the game into a joke. He said, it's a bleeping joke. Major League Baseball's turning this game into a joke. They own Rawlings. And you've got the commissioner, Rob Manfred, up here saying it might be the way they center the pill. They own the bleeping company. We all know what happened. The commissioner, Manfred, the first time he came in, what he What'd he say? He said we want more offense. All of a sudden, he comes in. The balls are juiced. It's not a coincidence. We're not idiots. You know, if a player speaks out about like that about a commissioner of his league, could you imagine if after the Saints got the screws in the NFC Championship game, if Drew Brees or one of the Saints said, you know, Goodell's a bleeping joke. Not only a joke, a bleeping joke. And look, what he's saying is right, because they're gonna break a home run record this year. And obviously a pitcher is saying this because you're not gonna hear too many hitters complain about this, because the hitters are the ones that are getting the big juicy statistics. It's the pitcher's statistics who aren't as good if the ball is juiced the way Justin Verlander is saying it is.
But here's a stat that I heard yesterday. All right, ready for this stat? As of so far in 2019, let me make sure I have this right. There is not one team who has a whose starting pitching staff averages six innings pitched. This is the era of
the bullpen, the reliever.
The bullpen, yeah. And not we're not talking just not a setup and then a closer. We're talking about middle to long relief and then a setup and then a closer, or depending on the scores of the game, just a mop-up role. I mean, you're getting 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 pitchers per team in a 9-inning game.
Brewster,
and it's unbelievable.
The Yankees, who have one of the best records in baseball this year, they have a 5th-inning guy if they got the lead.
Hmm.
A 6th-inning guy, a 7th-inning guy, an 8th-inning guy. Then they bring in the closer in the 9th inning. But they have those guys for each of those innings.
But just think about back in the days, and we don't even have to go that far back. As little as 8 to 10 years ago, you would have a manager come out, and the pitcher would be like, "I'm not coming out."
Well, not just that,
you know.
But back
one
in
more. Let me go one more inning. Two more batters.
Back in the day, Brewster, baseball teams would be lucky if they had one starter that could throw in the upper 90s, one or two starters. Now, every starter throws in the upper 90s. All of those guys that come out of the Yankee bullpen, they all throw in the mid to upper 90s. You didn't have guys like that back in the day. But what Justin Verlander is saying here, he's calling out the commissioner. He's saying baseball owns Rawlings, the company that makes the baseballs.
That's true.
And they're making these baseballs to go a long way. They are juiced. And it's a bleeping joke, and we'll see if anything happens with Justin Verlander. And the Houston Astros, again, they have another great chance this year to win the World Series. We're just past the halfway point of baseball. Coming up next, another local man got arrested for being a toilet cam man. Another toilet cam man! Stay tuned for...
We'll flush out those details.
Next, on Bayou. And it's our commercial free ride on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Hey, did you see for a limited time only Burger King, they are selling hard shell crispy tacos? I think they own Jack in the Box too, and I think they might be Jack in the Box tacos that they're selling, but for a limited time only, Burger King is selling tacos. See, I told you I'm simple. I'm very simple.
No, I told you you're simple.
Something like that makes me happy.
That's where you heard it from.
No. Breaking news. See who died? Ross Perot just died.
What? After he heard that Burger King is selling, what is it, Jack in the Box tacos?
Yes.
All right.
Ross Perot.
Ross H. Perot.
Yes. He was not only a brilliant businessman, he was an American business magnate, a business icon, a multi-billionaire. He was a philanthropist, gave away tons of money, and for a little while, he was a politician as well. That's how most people would know him. He was also a military man, Ross Perot. But he is best known for what a lot of people say, screwing up a presidential election.
Right. Splitting the infinitive there, and basically handing the uh, handing the election to Bill Clinton.
That's right.
In 92?
96.
96? Well, he ran in 92.
But he got really big again, I think, in the 1996 presidential. The Reform Party is what he called it.
I can remember. I looked it up. It was October 10th, 1992. The great SNL sketch, The Cold Open, where they had the debate between George H.W. Bush, played by Dana Carvey, Bill Clinton, famously played by Phil Hartman, and Ross Perot, also played by Dana Carvey, where they did a little split-screen magic there. And they actually, at one point, had H.W. Bush shaking hands, H.W. Bush Carvey shaking hands with Ross Perot, also Carvey.
Yeah, and in the 1992 election, that was the first time he ran. He got 18.9% of the popular vote. Almost 20 million people. 19 million people.
I remember Ross Perot most famously on with Larry King. He was constantly on Larry King, and he'd have his charts and graphs. And he actually had 30-minute infomercials about how he was going to fix everything wrong with the country. And he would say things like, Larry, can I get a word in edgewise? Larry, you measure twice and cut once. I'm basically doing Dana Carvey, doing Ross Perot. But Larry, can I finish, Larry?
But he didn't win in 1992, but he got almost 20 million votes. And then he came back in 96. He created the Reform Party, to which he got the nomination. Well, sure, he's going to get the nomination. He created the party, and he didn't do as well in 96. But
right.
but again, he gave away so much money. He gave away so much money, and he made just a good guy. Ross Perot, dead at the age of, is that 89?
Yes, I believe so.
And that's just about going to do it for our show. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
For today, we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, Ginty is next. Ginty. Two for Tuesday starts now here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.